Discover Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Back in the saddle, baby. It's Friday. It's recap day, and you're on the line.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton.
Oh, happy Friday, everybody. Hope you are doing amazing. We are doing amazing back here on the loveliest village on the plains. Yes, back in the ESPN 106.7 studio, looking for a fantastic wrap-up to what was an incredible week down in Tampa, Florida. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio this afternoon on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. We appreciate everybody for being a part of today's program, as well as an incredible week that it has been. We got back a couple of ticks before midnight last night, but wouldn't have wanted it any other way. A fantastic week of content, a fantastic week of fellowship, as well as a little bit of some gamesmanship as well throughout what was a really fun week down in Tampa, Florida on Digital Drive for 2026 SEC Media Days. We hope that everybody is doing well on this Friday afternoon, because this is going to be a very, very interactive show. We want all of our shows to be very interactive, but man, today even more so. If you were listening Monday through Thursday, hinted at what today was going to look like and how a lot of it will depend on how you, the listeners, want it to go, whether that's the text box, whether that's the phone lines, which we'll get to here in just a moment. But again, a very, very fun show that we have for you set up. Kind of just a giant recap day of SEC Media Days. And then once Monday hits, it'll be hitting the ground running, as it feels like the unofficial start for football season is now upon us. We get to do our hardcore ranking systems. We'll get to dive into a lot of what the SEC media ballots looked like. We got those just a few moments ago, but wanted to save that for a really fun Monday conversation. But we're having a great time here back in the studio. I'm Christian Griffin. Across from me, back on the controls, my man Chip Upton. Tried to make the joke. So before you, I stumbled that on purpose, because we were on the car ride home yesterday and we were talking about like the classic sayings of like, oh gosh, what is like broseph or like yeah. Brohemoth. I was sitting here with Ben a few minutes ago and I heard him call you Tripper, and I was like, Tripper Jones is a fantastic nickname for you. But then it just came out wrong. So happy Friday, Tripper Jones. Hopefully all is well.
That's a good one. I've never gotten that one. But yeah,
it works.
It really does. I thought you were going to be referencing our chip discussion based on we did like a draft of chips, because Christian,
what didn't we do for
that's a great question
for 14 hours in the car? I think we ranked just about every single thing that we possibly could. I put something on my Instagram story as well, asking for some of the hottest takes in sports. Got some really, really good answers that we might. Yeah, that might be a conversation later on next week as well, because we got some really, really good ones about quite literally everything. We got it from basketball. We got it from baseball. We got it for football. We got it for high school. We got it for literally just about everything. We even talked about Joey Chestnut being one of the greatest athletes ever just because of the food side of things.
Yes.
And so, yes, we did. We ranked just about everything in terms of...
We did like a potato chip ranking, a fast food
chip rankings,
meal,
fast foods.
We did like a ice cream draft, effectively. We should have
all
done
of that, and then yeah. We realized that only 20 minutes from the car ride had gone away.
We're not even in Ocala yet.
No, gosh.
That was...
For some reason, again, I don't know what it is, but we did drive back through Ty-Ty, Georgia, for those that were
a little bit
hanging on
yes.
to... our conversations on that side. Again, a big apology to Ty Georgia for not knowing that it really does have greatness. We did not stop for boiled peanuts, unfortunately, because it was a little bit later at that time. But realizing that our text box knows a lot about it, and we apologize that we did not. But now we do, and so we will forever be grateful for Ty Georgia. But again, a fantastic Friday, and most importantly, we're going to talk SEC Media Days, but we're really here to talk about, for 2 hours, LeBron going to Philly. I mean, that's the hottest news. That's why everybody wants to be here on the airwaves this afternoon.
Yes, that's, you know what? It's going to be nice that he can learn a lot from Jani Broom and how to play and play winning basketball.
I did see Auburn tweet something. It's a Bron and Broom. And it was like, it could work, maybe.
But yeah, that team, I mean, Jaylen Brown, Tyrese Maxey, VJ Edgecombe, and Joel Embiid, and now LeBron James on top of that. It's going to be a good year to be a Philadelphia 76ers fan. I wonder what the Boston Celtics now will think if Jaylen Brown wins a title. He's got two rings and a finals MVP. Jason Tatum doesn't. He only has one ring. If any specific Celtics fans that I know probably would not agree with that. But what does he
know? I know there's one.
There's one.
Oh, yes. No, but no, excited to be back here in the studio, excited to be back on the airwaves, and today does feel like a little bit more of a relaxed show because it is. It's just a giant recap. Our format today looks a little bit, not unique, but it's very subject to change. We are very, very happy to talk about whatever you have on your mind here this afternoon. I guess if it is LeBron news, we're happy to talk about that. If it's Group of Six football news, we will happily discuss some action on a Tuesday night because we're getting closer to that day, which fires both of us up, just college football lovers. But as well as SEC Media Days, whether it's from the Auburn perspective, whether it's some quotes that you heard from any of the other teams, we would love to hear from you here this afternoon, whether that's the phone lines, whether that's the text box. Both are completely open here this afternoon. On this Friday, July 24th, 2026, the definition of a free-for-all Friday we are expecting here this afternoon. Phone lines, again, open all afternoon long, 334-321-1390. Again, any comments that you have about SEC Media Days, some things that you liked coaches that were said, some things that you didn't necessarily like that some coaches said, or just things that weren't answered that you kind of hoped right now that you wished were answered a little bit. Always give us a call, 334-321-1390. The text box is always open as well at 334-784-1OTL. We talked about our format being very subject to change, but looking at it right now for the two-hour show, 2 to 2:30 is going to be Monday. 2:30 to 3 is going to be Tuesday, 3 to 3:30 is going to be Wednesday, and 3:30 to 4 is kind of looking at what Thursday looked like on SEC Media Days. Just a giant recap here this afternoon, and love for you to be a part of the show. But again, excited to be back in Auburn, Alabama. Took us a little bit longer than we were hoping for to get back, but still a fantastic show, a fantastic week that it has been, and it's going to continue to be here this afternoon. And even today, with it being SEC Media Days week, wanted to yet again continue to shout out our amazing people that made it happen. Those at the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn for fueling us up, for sending us down, and for fueling us back up again and sending us back up to Auburn, yes. Alabama. It was an incredible week, again, that we're able to put on the air. Very, very excited for everything that's still to continue to work its way out. And so the 7 hours of local coverage that you heard from Monday through Thursday on ESPN 106.7 was thanks to those wonderful companies, wonderful sponsors. Whenever you are in Auburn, make sure to go check them out because they will take care of you the same way that they took absolutely amazing care of us. Monday. A bit of a recap, and again, for those that may have missed a little bit of any part of the show or any certain parts of certain days, Auburn's schedule was very unique this year because Monday was Sankey Day, and if you are not one of the four teams that works its way on Monday, you kind of just go and you highlight everything about SEC Media Days. You highlight Greg Sankey, and then you kind of just talk about whatever else you need to. Any of the big quotes, yes, but everything is dominated by what is said Monday morning with Greg Sankey. Tuesday, again, it felt as if it was Auburn Day. You have a little bit of Georgia quotes in there as well, some South Carolina quotes. Whatever you heard from Vanderbilt, we'll get to that here momentarily. Wednesday was obviously another fantastic day as well, because Wednesday and Thursday, talking about the Auburn perspective, you played six of the eight teams that had their media days on Wednesday and Thursday. On Wednesday, it was Alabama and Florida in the morning, Ole Miss and Texas A&M in the afternoon. Auburn obviously plays Alabama, Florida, and Ole Miss. And then on Thursday, the exact same thing. Arkansas and LSU in the morning, who Auburn will play, Mississippi State, who Auburn will play, and Texas, who Auburn will not play. And so made it a really, really good week in terms of overall content. Again, we're very happy, very proud of what we were able to put over the airwaves. 12 interviews that we were able to get. Only three of them were scheduled. And so very, very happy with everything that we were able to get in terms of not only coverage of Auburn, coverage of the SEC as a whole, but also some guests that do what we do in terms of covering one specific team, getting those experts on our airwaves to tell you everything that you need to know about those other teams.
It was a great week, and we were able to give you as much as possible. And there was a lot of things said over the week that we're going to want to break down. We know that you guys want to break down. But first, we got to head to the phone lines first, because we have old man on the line here on the line. And my friend, you told me as we were doing the call screening that you want to talk a little bit about a certain buzz about Jordan-Hare Stadium going on across Tampa this week.
Absolutely, guys. I thought y'all did a fantastic job with numerous people over the different age genres, and I'm even older than Uncle T-Bone. Yet it was nice, and it was so great to hear multiple young people, different coaches. LSU, Lane Kiffin was talking about the lady that the Florida reporter that was married to the punter.
Yeah,
I can't even think about however other many times I heard this week about the mystique of the old Jordan-Hare, the magic, as Nick Saban used to call it, the magical place. I'm excited about the return, and this fall, hopefully, setting it back to where people were intimidated and scared of Jordan-Hare, whereas, like, now they just think of it as a neutral site again.
Yeah.
Love to hear you guys' thoughts on that.
Of course, yeah. I mean, you're at the point, and it's been over the last handful of years, to where we've talked about it all over the airwaves, of Jordan-Hare just being another place to play. And the environment is one thing, but the on-field production has been another thing. And we got to go to the ambush event that was prior to Auburn's main thing in Tampa, and we got to hear John Cohen make a bunch of comments about what he wants to prioritize with this new regime for the Auburn Tigers. And he said, we need to meet our fan base halfway. If not, we need to take even more steps than what they've been doing, because the fan base has given everything to this program, not only on the football field, but obviously all of the other ones in there as well. But specifically talking football, the fan base has held up more than their end of the bargain. And I think that speaks volumes to have your athletic director understand that, again, the fan base is doing what they need to do, yet the success not only in the win column, but also just the day-to-day and making the environment match what the fans are doing into the stadium. I think there's a lot of identity that's being found in terms of what needs to happen to get Jordan-Hare back to what it is, because, I mean, as frustrating as it sounds right now, you have Florida as your night game, but as great as Jordan-Hare is, it's because of the lack of success is why you have so many early kickoffs.
And I think another part of that that really speaks to that, like when I was in school, we had four SEC wins through my 4 years there, my four football seasons there. And it is a four overtime game against Texas A&M. The Missouri game from 2022, I'll just leave it there because there's really not more that you could say about that game when the overtime and all that stuff. You had Mississippi State and Vanderbilt in 2023. That was it. And I think that the on-the-field results just have not matched what Auburn fans expect. You look what basketball has been able to do, turning Neville Arena into one of the hardest places to play in the country, even for the smallest arena in the SEC. Plainsman Park is becoming a underrated gym of the SEC and finally getting on people's radar, because not only is the team on the field performing, but also the the stands and the fan bases behind them. Even gymnastics has been such a great part of what they're trying to do with the gymnasties. If Auburn's on-the-field results can match that, they have the environment. And they university has spent so much money investing in that as well, of putting the new Jumbotron on the other side so that everyone isn't turning their neck and takes them off the game, which, I mean, if you want to think of it from a law of thermodynamics, they're yelling, they're able to see and be able to yell at the field, there's going to be a louder stadium. And when those wins come, I mean, Lane Kiffin said it himself, it's a magical place.
Absolutely. And last thought, it was very refreshing to hear our new coach talk about, hey, let's get it through the first three quarters, and then we can continue to win and have the other team give up. Y'all can probably quote it verbatim. And yet, just in a time of reflection, I'm like, man, we've been so excited to be close, and maybe we can come from behind in the magical place of Jordan-Hare. Yet I love the difference of opinion to say, hey, it's fourth quarter. We've got the lead. Let's continue to pour in and have the other team give up versus a come from behind attitude.
Yeah.
Very refreshing.
Yeah, that's the word that we've used, refreshing, just in terms of not only the questions that were asked, it felt as if there was a lot more respect for Auburn this year, and a lot of them are just because you had more question marks with this team, and even more questions throughout SEC Media Days as a whole, and we'll get to that as the show goes on, but because there's so many first-year head coaches, so many of those guys have so much to prove, and it genuinely is, Coach, talk to me about your program. Talk to me about what you want to see rather than, what was your handicap? How many strokes do you have, you know, before you came to Tampa here yesterday? It was very refreshing to hear the pure focus on football, and then obviously Alex Golish and his quietly long-winded answers. But again, I think that shows the intentionality that he plans to bring.
Yeah, thank you very much, guys, for continuing to relate to the older John Dre and taking the old man phone call. Y'all have a great Friday afternoon.
Y'all as well. Yes, sir. Appreciate you for calling in. And again, I mean, I think what we heard with John Cohen, again, talking a little bit about that was, so, again, I don't want to applaud him for realizing that, because obviously that's your job, but to make those statements of, we want to almost apologize to everything that the fans have had to go through and continue to go through. Because, I mean, we've talked a lot about this and the older on the line segments of, man, how much longer can the fan base take results like this over multiple different head coaches, everything looking the exact same? If you go and you look at the personalities, I'd be willing to say that Alex Golish has a little bit more swagger to him, a little bit more confidence. Not quite the word cocky, because, again, he's now that first-year head coach in the SEC. But it's a little bit of a moxie to where, if Auburn does have success this year, when you look at 27 or you look at 28, there could be a little bit of that, okay, this guy almost comes off a tiny bit arrogant, yet look at what he's been able to do on the field. I think you have a reason for it.
I just think it's because he prepares so well. I think that he is the most prepared coach because he's able to understand any topic very quickly to be able to say, okay, this is what your question's about, and I'm going to talk in depth about it and give you everything I need. You know, I wonder how much prep he was able to do for this week on that. I'm sure he did a lot, knowing this is a good way to put the program forward because everything needs to be intentional.
Yeah, I mean, the intentionality is a word that we use. We've used refreshing multiple times as well. Purpose and the identity. I think those are some of the big words that surrounded the Auburn football program, and it's so impressive to hear a coach like Alex Golish, who talked about, again, he's now working his way onto, he's only in month 7 right now of being on the Plains. Like, it doesn't feel as if that, I mean, until you look at the football season, it's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense that he hasn't coached a game inside Jordan-Hare Stadium wearing the Auburn logo across his chest. But you get to the point of, you've heard so much success. We've talked so much about everything that he's been able to do, and obviously the recruiting trail has helped with that so much, but it feels as if he's been here for a couple of years in terms of the way that he carries himself, the way that he handles the media It's so impressive being able to hear him answer questions about the two deep, about the three deep, about different position groups, and for him to go in and name every single player and name, again, where they're from, their age, what they were able to do last year, them coming in from high school, and some of these details that if he didn't say, you wouldn't sit there and go, oh, wow, he doesn't know a lot about his players. But how many head coaches do you hear when they talk about their team? And if it's not the three names that they brought to SEC Media Days or their star quarterback or their star receiver, it's a little bit more of just the last name, or it's a little bit more of just kind of the group as a whole. Like, our linebackers need to get better. And then you throw a couple of last names in there. Man, you're sitting there hearing Alex Golish talk about the running back room and talk about Jeremiah Cobb, talk about Omar Mabson, talk about Nakai Davenport. And then he works his way to, yeah, we need to get better there, but we also need to get better in the receiver room. And we've had Christian Neptune have a fantastic week, a fantastic summer. We've had Bryce Dees in the linebacker room, and it feels like he's able to go to so many different position groups, so many different opportunities that he has to talk about his team, and it feels like he is exceeding in every single thing that makes a coach with that intentionality factor work its way to exactly what you need to hear, to where everything works its way to that overall word of refreshing, which we have used to describe Auburn's 2026 SEC Media Days. We'll take our first break here this afternoon, come back, get to the phone lines, and continue this conversation as we're just off and running here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute, presented by Bucks Island. Christmas night, 1776. The American Revolution was nearly lost. General George Washington and his ragged Continental Army faced freezing winds along the Delaware River. Many soldiers had no boots. Morale was collapsing. But Washington had one bold idea. Cross the river. Surprise the Hessian troops in Trenton. In darkness and snow, the army pushed boats through ice. By morning, they attacked. The victory was small in numbers, but enormous in spirit. The revolution lived to fight another day, one more moment that shaped the country we call home. The American Minute is presented by Bucks Island, family-owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
U.com and the Radio Alabama app. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Did you turn your mic on the whole time?
Yeah, I turned my mic on.
I was
right
wondering
there.
Why I couldn't hear myself. I thought it was my headset that got messed up. You heard me from your microphone
yes.
a little bit.
Yes,
but
rusty.
We are back here on the Friday edition of On the Line. I mean, it's been 4 days since you've run the board. I mean, I don't know.
I don't.
We'll get it back on Monday to where we remember how to do everything.
Back. Yes.
We'll get it all worked out. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. The phone lines are open all afternoon long. If you want to be a part of today's program, 334-321-1390. And we head there now with Spectre, my man. You're on the line. Thanks for holding on throughout the break.
Hey guys, how y'all doing today?
Doing well. How about yourself?
GIF.
Yes, sir. If that's the biggest complaint in the world, then that's a pretty good complaint, right?
Yeah. Hey, I hate to be the Debbie Downer here, but, you know, I'm tired of this coach carousel. You know, we heard it from, you know, when Harsin came on board, we're going to get done what Gus couldn't get done. Well, that turned out to be a disaster. Well, we're going to hire us a coach that's got experience in the SEC. He's going to really get it done. And Hugh Freeze, well, that turned out to be a disaster. You know, I'm hearing what's going on here with Alex and all that. So I'm holding back my comments on that because I want to see action on the field. I want to see it proven on the field. I'm tired of the talk. I'm tired of the hype. I want to see. I want to just shut up and get it done.
Yeah, I don't think that's being Debbie Downer whatsoever. I think that is the kind of the outspoken majority of the Auburn Tigers. That's almost you're clinging to any positivity that you can right now, just because it's not football season. But I mean, Alex Golish was the first one to talk about how he's so excited to get to Atlanta and take on Baylor, and then the very following week head to Jordan-Hare Stadium. I don't know if there's anybody that is more ready for football, more ready to prove himself than Alex Golish, and so I don't think it's the Debbie Downer mentality whatsoever to say I'm tired of hearing I'm tired of hope being sold, because man, that's what we have been told for quite some time, and goes right back to what we were talking about with John Cohen, of him understanding that and almost making that demand that we got to meet our fan base more than halfway because of everything they've done.
Yeah, I hear you. I just hope we don't go up to Atlanta and get blown out by Baylor. If that happens, buddy, I don't know if I can make it back from Atlanta.
I would say that based on, and obviously the game still has to be played, I would be very surprised if that were to be the case, and I'm okay saying that publicly, and I think everybody that talked during SEC Media Days would be very, very surprised as well, because, again, you saw what Auburn was able to do last year, and I know that that's going to be a big topic of conversation, a big talking point, and rightfully so, but both teams are very, very different. Yet that being said, I still just think there is a talent jump, regardless of if you're looking at guys that were on Auburn's team last year or if they were not, whether that was South Florida, whether that was any other transfers or from the high school rankings as well. I feel confident to say that on paper, which again has been not necessarily the problem over the last handful of years, the talent is more than enough to come back from Atlanta with a big-time win. It's just about the coaching staff, yet again, making sure they can get the job done.
Well, the questions I have are the offensive line. Of course, we hear about the running backs. We hear about the quarterback, Brown. We hear about the receivers. We hear about the edge guys. We hear about the defensive backs. But, gee, man, let's not talk about those five big elephants in the room.
I do think there was enough conversation about – I know that's more so in the electronic media room, and that's why we tried to go a different route than what a lot of the media was going to, because we knew the offensive line was going to be a humongous conversation. It was for just about every team in the SEC. I mean, you go back to Brent Venables, you go to DeBoer, you go to Beamer at South Carolina. They all talked about their offensive line struggles and how they couldn't run the football. Funny enough, Auburn didn't fall into not being able to run the football. It was more of the pass protection. But I think when you're looking at guys like Cole Best, you're looking at guys like Jacob Strand from Oregon State, Joe Simmons from James Madison, who played in a college football playoff game, Stanton Ramil, who's expected to be a big-time addition from Michigan State, Cole Skinner in there as well, and still having Cale Ellis. Again, there's plenty of names, and I think that Alex Golish did talk a lot about those guys, and thankfully we're at the point right now where everybody is still figuring out their offensive line. Everybody's kind of going through the offensive line rankings. There were a lot of those conversations throughout Digital Drive, and everybody had a lot of question marks. And so if it was one of those years of, holy cow, Alabama's bringing everybody back, Georgia's bringing everybody back, half the teams feel as if they've locked down those five names, I'd feel a little bit more worried. But it really did feel like there were so many questions in terms of the offensive line just throughout the entire SEC, to where it didn't draw as many red flags as it would have in previous years.
All right, guys, I'll close it with this. I just hope our tackles have been through their physical and their hearing is good.
I don't disagree with you there either, Spectre.
Appreciate
all
you,
right,
Spectre.
See you guys.
Thanks for calling in. Thanks for being a part of the show. I know you were very active throughout the text box. Again,
yes.
whether that's things you like, whether that's things you didn't like. Again, that's the beauty in what we do. That's why I close it out with the close out every show with the whether you love it, whether you hate it. We're back to talk about it, because I understand that not every opinion that we share, everybody's going to love. Every opinion that you share, we're not going to love. I mean, that's the beauty of what we do. It's the beauty of why we prioritize the text box. We prioritize the phone lines, and we're all working in the same direction. We're all hoping that Auburn has meaningful games in November. They're delusional enough to where they think they're one of 26 teams come November 2nd or whatever the case may be to think they have a spot in the college football playoff. There's just multiple ways to get there, and everybody has their own beauty opinion.
Yeah, Spectre, if you're still listening, I mean, the USF had 2,700 yards rushing last year, and he brought over a lot of those offensive linemen. if that continues, Auburn could be winning some football games this year for sure.
We'll continue talking our recap of 2026 SEC Media Days, working our way throughout all the different days here on this Friday afternoon.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
30 minutes into the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Having a good time back here in Auburn, Alabama. And I feel like you need a vacation from the vacation almost. A lot of fun was had. A lot of work was done. But again, it feels a little bit different looking out into the parking lot rather than turning around and looking at the yachts in the water down by the river. And so
the rain that came through today.
Maybe we'll just make our way back to Tampa and we'll just go remote every single day. But no, having a good time here in the studio. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. The phone lines are open all afternoon long. If you want to be a part of today's program, we highly invite you to do so at 334-321-1390. The text box always open as well at 334-784-1685. And we go back to the phone lines. And Terry, you're on the line. Once again, appreciate you for holding on throughout the break. Hope you're getting ready for a really good weekend.
Mark, Christian, Trip, how y'all doing?
Doing fantastic. A little tired, but if that's the biggest complaint from a pretty busy weekend, then...
Did you guys leave last night, or did you come back today?
No, we got back last night. I believe Trip took a picture at 11:56 p.m.
You guys did a good job.
Well, we appreciate that.
You guys get the feeling I did that we're on the verge of two budding rivalries, coaching-wise. Kirby Smart and Lane Kiffin, and Alex Gullish and John Summerall.
The Auburn-Florida, I will say 100% yes. I think that these are two programs that have fit the same mold right now, and especially if it was taking the head coaches out of it. I think they're in very similar spots, much less the John Summerall being the clear favorite for what felt like forever to land the Auburn job, and then 48 hours happens, and next thing you know, he's working his way to Gainesville, Alex Gullish heading his way down to Auburn, and so I think that will be a budding rivalry, whether they're played or whether they're not, just almost the bar every single year, and week three is going to be a really fun story.
Well, I meant the Kiffin and Smart rivalry is going to be immediate. It's going to be happening right now.
Oh, yeah.
I think the Summerall and Gullish rivalry is to come. I think it's in the works.
No, I definitely agree with you, especially with the fact of the amount of Florida fans that are probably like USF grads, but they root for the Gators that are probably not happy with Alex Gullish. And then all the Auburn grads that knew of John Summerall when he was at Troy, because you know there's a lot of bleed over in those fan bases. I'd be very curious there. And Kirby and Kiffin always been kind of... They hit each other with jabs here and there, just former Saban assistants trying to be the top Saban assistant. I definitely agree. That'll be big ones for college football playoffs and SEC championships.
And I got one more question for you guys. What in the world was Stephen Pearl doing hanging around the SEC Media Days?
So that was just the big ambush event, and you make their way throughout multiple different cities. Stephen Pearl was there. You also had, obviously, Alex Gullish was there. You had
Nick
Andy
Kleiner.
Burcham was there. Nick Kleiner, the golf coach, was there. And so almost the top coaches, and whenever there's availability, I know that Larry Vickers has been to a couple of them. It's just having some of the Auburn head coaches that go and speak to some of the fans wherever their location may be.
I thought Stephen Pearl was there teaching them how to lose.
He's hopefully building the excitement. Appreciate it, Terry. Appreciate you for calling in. I don't think it's very. You don't have to dig very hard to see where Terry resides in terms of Auburn basketball. Hopefully, there's success, which I know he's talked about.
Yeah.
But again, you've seen the practice clips coming out of Neville Arena, and so hopefully, he's talking more about what was built in the transfer portal, which he did talk a lot about. He talked a lot about the depth that has made its way back to the Auburn Tigers and how they can go with more tempo. It makes things a whole lot easier. Simple, stupid. A good quarterback makes an offense good. Same thing. I mean, when you have Tahad Pettiford, Kevin Overton returning for the Auburn Tigers, but you also have guys like Buki Oboye, you have guys like Narcisse Ngoy that are going to be manning the paint. It makes playing defense that much easier. You can be more aggressive beyond the three-point line, and he talked a lot about how, guards blowing past some of the other guards in transition or just with a play getting downhill and all of a sudden Tahad or KO going up for a floater or going up for a layup and realizing, oh, shoot, I can't do this in practice anymore because of the trees that are right there. We've seen the clips of, I believe it was Narcisse Ngoi pinning one of the guards off the backboard, throwing the outlet, then getting the outlet to Tahad, and 3 seconds later, him windmilling it on the other side of the floor. And so if that can be a glimpse of what this Auburn team looks like, I think there's excitement, but same thing that Spector was talking about. It's time to see the proof of concept rather than just the, this is what we could see. There could be athleticism, and we're ready for basketball season, but not wishing away basketball season, not wishing away football season, rather, quite yet. Hopefully it's not October or November, and it's, okay, come on, it's time to get to Neville Arena.
Oh, yeah. I think that the non-conference slate is really going to help Auburn with that, and this is something that I really am going to want to dive into a little bit closer to basketball season, but looking at what this non-conference has been for the Auburn Tigers over the past 2 years, it worked to their favor in 2024, with in 2025 of a just absolutely stacked out of conference that Auburn was able to win. And then 2025-26, it went to their detriment of, wow, Auburn's playing a bunch of tough teams and losing early, and they really never recovered. I think this year, is it a little easier? Yes, they still have Arizona. They still have the players' era, but I'd be very curious to see, Christian, with an easier non-conference, could they get more momentum early and get into SEC play and win some games early and be a contender and realize their hype?
Yeah, I didn't think there'd be a basketball conversation today, but definition of free-for-all Friday a T. And yes, this is, I believe it was Justin Ferguson who was talking about it on the drive a couple of weeks ago, and how this year's schedule is not comparable to last year's or even 2 years ago, where, my gosh, you look at those and it was the toughest in the country, especially non-conference. You have a little bit more of the, okay, here's a big test. Okay, here's a couple of tune-up games. Here's a big test. Okay, here's a couple of tune-up games. We're even going to go away from Neville Arena and have a quality opponent, but it's looked at as, okay, this is one of those mid-majors that could go and win their conference, almost like a Queens last year that made their way into the tournament, yet it's not, okay, we're going to get the AP preseason top 25, we're going to close our eyes and throw a dart at it, and whoever it lands, that's who we're going to play every single night, because that's what it truly felt like of Arizona, Michigan. It felt like you played Texas Tech. It felt like you played UConn and Duke. And I mean, it just felt like you played everybody over the last handful of years. And so,
especially on the road.
I mean,
looking at Tucson, Arizona.
And that's what is unfortunate, because we've learned that in college basketball, it doesn't matter if you lose, if, as long as it's not at home. As long as you don't have to win, but if you go play some of these quality teams, neutral site or on the road, ironically, it can benefit you later on in the run.
Yeah, even the neutral site games against like Wisconsin in Nashville.
Yeah,
that's going to be an Auburn home game. I don't think many Badgers will make it down to the Music City, but like Tucson, or they don't go to Tucson. Arizona comes here to Neville Arena. That is going to be a good matchup that Auburn's going to have a home field, like a home advantage for.
Mm-hmm.
I think this team can build momentum early and realize and figure things out instead of having to figure it out on the fly. And then they play SEC opponents and, okay, we know our identity. That was the big thing. We didn't know our identity last season. I think Auburn could get their identity early with that schedule.
Yeah, we thought we figured out that identity for, the second half of the Ole Miss game and then the game in Florida, where it was like, man, that was the best 60 minutes you played, where Auburn was, 5 of 15 or 5 of 16 from 3 in Gainesville. And it was like, okay, look, you established the physicality aspect because you don't have the depth, you're not going to have the speed, but you figured out other ways to make it work, and that was the best 60 minutes that you saw Auburn basketball play all year long. But I'm very excited that Arizona's coming here. It feels like it's been a while since you've had a legitimate non-conference game at home. I know you had NC State last year with Will Wade, but that was the ACC-SEC challenge. That was not just a true home-and-home where the Auburn fans got rewarded for it.
Yeah, which, I mean, because it frustrates me so much, and I'd love your opinion on this as well, looking at the non-conference games like ACC-SEC Challenge. It'll be, Auburn has to go to Duke. Mm-hmm. Auburn has to go to North Carolina, and then...
Oh, yeah, they're not going on the road, even though they do this year.
Yes, but
Duke
then
goes to Florida. That's awesome.
There we go. But then when it's Auburn's turn to host a home game, it's, do you guys want Clemson? Do you guys want Virginia Tech? It's like, no, that's not, like, we are a good enough team and a good enough program and a marquee matchup with a Duke or a North Carolina. Heck, even like one of the teams that's kind of had some staying power in the ACC recently. I mean, Miami's been pretty good. Why not have them come to Neville Arena? It's always the teams that are on down years that come to Neville Arena, or NC State for some reason. Not to make fun of NC State, but it seems Auburn plays them in like every basketball and baseball season. It's just I don't know. I've always noticed that, and there's Auburn fans have had true gripes about it. But Arizona coming back, thank goodness. It's going to be a fun one.
Be a lot of fun, especially what that team's going to look like without Koa Pete, without Braden Burries, without Jaden Bradley as well. A very different team, but will still be one of the top 10 teams, most likely in the country. Got a text in the on-the-line text box during this. Not talking about basketball. Thanks, Terry. Look at what you did. No, just kidding. Happy to talk basketball whenever you would like to, especially with the positivity of Stephen Pearl. I know that green light's going to light up if I keep talking about that. But no, got a text in the on-the-line text box, which you can always be a part of at 334-784-1685 and essentially recaps everything that's funny enough we've talked a lot about off air and during our 14 hours that we spent on the road. Well, maybe, going there and what
I thought I was saying, I think it was like closer to 15 or 16
it probably
hours.
Was but with the stops we had a nice little stop at Wawa that spent way too much money than I needed to, but
put me on game there though. I gotta appreciate it. I shout you out there. It was really good.
Fantastic.
No free ads, but like that one we fair.
If anybody listening, I mean, we're happy to shake your hands and show you a dotted line if we need to. But
make one in Auburn.
Don't tempt us. Don't tempt us. But again, you can always be a part of today's program. Text box always open, but the phone lines open all afternoon long as well. The definition truly of a free for all Friday. Doing a big recap of SEC Media Days and Auburn basketball. But happy to pivot however we want. But we had a lot of time to talk about what we wanted our schedule to look like in the fall. And this is talking about, know that we have Jordan for Georgia, know that we have, again, a couple of other guys that we bring on occasionally, but talking about Miss Allie Peake for Florida, yes, who we were able to talk a lot about. Again, she was the one that let us basically put two and two together, because every time I've talked about this Auburn-Florida game, I've talked about the 20th year anniversary of the blocked punt, Trey Smith recovers and flips into the end zone, and how that was one of the best moments, especially back-to-back, the sack and then the punt in Auburn football history. The fact that we realized that was her husband putting two and two together was crazy on that side of things, but was basically asking if we had a plan, if there was any way that we could get a reporter or an expert for each team that Auburn's going to play that week. And funny enough, that's what a lot of the conversations were off air here this week, being able to network, being able to meet so many really cool people. We've already confirmed with Miss Allie that we will be able to have her and possibly her husband as well joining us on the phone lines for week three to talk about that Florida matchup. And so really do want to prioritize doing that, being able to get so many more people in there with knowledge about their teams, what they should expect, whether that's inside Jordan-Hare, whether that's Auburn going to their place. That's definitely a priority that we're going to have. So funny enough that was a text in the text box, because we had a lot of conversations on that. We don't want our day-to-day or even our week-to-week to almost be so content-driven in terms of what this week sounded like. SEC Media Days is, again, that's a completely different story, because that's a week of what feels like 6 months of conversation where we had 12 interviews on 4 days, which, pat on the back, three of those were scheduled. Nine of them are walking up and trying to get them. But that's what makes that week so cool, because we now have so many people that we can go to that you have already heard from. And so we'll be able to get even more of those. But yes, that will be at least a part of the schedule, a priority in the schedule. We got to find a way to work everything out, so there are still times for us to get our opinions out there. And
yeah.
But to have the happy medium of the experts versus us being able to rant and get our sports fix for a couple of hours.
It's on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton, not on the line with Christian Griffin, Trip Upton, and whatever four guests they have on that day. I definitely think that we're going to have some good expert stuff, and we're going to bring you the knowledge from the people that know what's going on around those programs. We're also going to be able to give you the best content that we know about and are willing and want to talk about with you guys, and the topics that you guys want to hear.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one, continuing to work our way through the SEC Media Days. Haven't dove into too much of the Monday side of things, but again, that's what we had quote-unquote planned for, but we figured today would be a day where it goes a little bit off the rails, but that's exactly what we want. Any thoughts that you have, any questions, any remarks, whether that's Auburn, whether that's the other 15 teams in the SEC, shoot, whether it's about LeBron, whether it's about the WNBA All-Star game, whatever the case may be, we're happy to talk about that here on the Friday edition of On the Line. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Friday edition of On the Line here, or wrapping up hour number one, rather, not wrapping up the Friday. We still got another hour to go. Man. We're having a good time. And again, this is like the relaxing day. We're able to borderline close our laptops, prop our feet up, and just talk about what we saw, talk a little ball, having two bros talk football, and wouldn't want it any other way. Wouldn't want it to be any other way without you as well. Again, already a couple conversations, a lot of texts in the On the Line text box as well, which you can always be a part of throughout the program. Phone lines are open all afternoon long, again, at 334-321-1390. Text box always open as well at 334-784-1685. Give me a first-time texter here this afternoon. Don't ask a lot, but somebody that's never texted in, that listens and has been listening throughout the week, give me a text from a first-time texter, either a question or a remark that you would like us to talk about here this afternoon. But, again, it's been a whole lot of fun. We're trying to catch up on a little bit of sleep this weekend. Yeah. But, again, it was a whole lot of fun. And again, I'm really glad that somebody did ask about what the week is going to look like during the football season. Because, yes, we did talk a lot about that and the priority of, yes, we have Jordan of Dogs 24/7, Jordan Hill, who we didn't get to here this week just because of everything else that was going on. But working with that as well as getting our Alabama guy as well, and we might make that a little bit of like a Wednesday, like a rivalry type of Wednesday, but may have something at the 3 o'clock hour or maybe a Friday topic of conversation, getting an expert from one of the teams that Auburn's going to play because, again, I think that is so important. I think that brings up a really good conversation, whether that's Auburn going there, them coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium, just what they expect to see from their team, what they expect to see from the game.
Yeah, I'm glad that you, the listener, are interested in having that kind of and having that similar mindset of we want to hear about from these people with the other teams we play. I mean, that was effectively, if you think about it in our drive, a Tifton to Albany conversation. that's how I have to think about that car ride, not how long it took. It was the segments of where we were. Because we did rankings from like south of Ocala to closer to the Florida-Georgia line.
Which I dominated, by the way.
I don't know. Some good ones. You had some good ones. I think your fast food one was pretty good.
It was. We did miss one. You got that at pick number five.
I got
an absolute steal. Yes. But
chips, we did. I think your ice cream flavor was really good as well. I think you getting cotton candy at round three was just such a
can't
such
let people
a
know that I picked that, man. They just judged me either. They either judged me really hard or they love me even more now. Also had coffee ice cream on that list in there as well. So
sneaker pick right there. So yeah, that's how I like. But we are very excited to give you the best coverage in the Auburn Opelika area this fall for football season.
Yeah, hour number two, well, we are going to dive into, unless, again, somebody has anything to say, we'll happily dive into whatever you want to talk about here this afternoon, but we will dive into some of the biggest storylines that happened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and how some teams, you saw their logo, but you heard absolutely nothing from to where, man, we had to go back and really research, really find some of the quotes because, again, a team like Vanderbilt. Clark Lee was there, but he wasn't really there. So we'll talk about that, some of the other big quotes from any of the other head coaches, and anything on your mind here on this free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. Hour number one of the books, hour number two coming up.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Hour number one in the books. We continue breaking down SEC Media Days here in hour number two.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Tripp Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. He is Tripp Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Man, having a good time back in Auburn, Alabama. Back on the plains.
Back in God's country.
Back in God's country. And having a good time recapping all of SEC Media Days, which we did a lot of in hour number one. A little bit more, again, as expected, a little bit more off the rails just in terms of the way that we had scheduled our show to look and to run, but it was very intentional, very expected, and we would want nothing less for it to go that way here in hour number two as well. But in hour number one, I have to actually remember everything that we talked about because it wasn't necessarily Missouri and Oklahoma. A lot more of just Auburn's overall outlook in terms of, refreshing is a word that we continue to use. And it fits the way that everything sounded on Tuesday for Auburn Day, but then also again throughout the rest of the week because it still felt as if there was a little bit of a ringing buzz from the Auburn Tigers in a very good way. And by no means am I diving into the Auburn won SEC Media Days, or John Sumrall won SEC Media Days, or Vanderbilt lost SEC Media Days. That's something that gets talked about so frequently that it's almost a almost feels like a turnoff to have to hear or talk about something like that because, man, I don't necessarily care who won or lost it by a single quote that was said on the podium rather than the way that all the coaches and the players represented themselves. And I think that Auburn represented themselves very, very well with Alex Golish, as well as the three players of Byron Brown, of Champ Anthony, of Alex McPherson. I thought it was the utmost professional. It was suit and tie. There were laughs, but it was a lot of business. And weirdly enough, thanks to the media for helping in being that, of asking the questions that they actually wanted to answer, other than the South Florida Tampa radio people that continue to lose their mind for some reason. And this wasn't even a planned tangent, but I'm going to go on it. So apologies for stealing your thunder. In hour number two, we're going to start talking about this and also talk Media Days. But for some reason, and I know that if you go on social media, you're going to end up seeing some of the quotes. And there's one that's escalating and surfacing right now that I ask everybody to just not let it work you up the way that it's about to work me up. Not that I interacted with it on social media, but for all you know, that's the reason that it was posted. But we had many people talk about it while we were there on Tuesday. We talked, or had a lot of people talk about it on Wednesday that we heard. And there were some discussions that were had for some of those people of like, you genuinely don't know what you're talking about. For Alex Golish, going down to Tampa, Florida, where South Florida is. Again, I mean, we saw some of their campus right across the street. We went to Raymond James, which is obviously where they're playing right now while they finish up like the renovations or finish up the building of their new stadium on campus. But a lot of Tampa people and the Tampa media, very, very frustrated and almost like physically hurt that Golish did not spend time talking to the individual radio stations in Tampa. Do they not know that, A, they're not obligated to that? Like, saying that how it is? No coach is obligated to go and talk to you, regardless of if he was there 7 months ago. Like, he doesn't care. I don't care. You shouldn't care. Yet, for some reason, it is a big topic in Tampa of Alex Golish. He didn't even come and spend time. He didn't even talk to the Tampa people. He didn't even talk to those in South Florida. Okay, He's not your head coach. He's not there anymore. There's a reason he's not there. And then all of the, yeah, we don't even want him. We didn't want the relevancy. He left out. He's guilty, whatever the case may be. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm sure your program was fantastic before he showed up. I mean, we dove into that history. But I don't know. I think that's ridiculous that there's an obligation that they feel. They almost feel as if they have the hierarchy over everybody. Alex Kohler spent an hour on Digital Drive, and we were grateful that we got the very last one. We were able to talk with Alex Golish right before he went to the electronic media room, but by no means did he dodge and avoid anybody specifically. It's the fact that, man, he's walking around with the fantastic SIDs at Auburn of Taylor Bryan and George Nunnally and Miss Kendra as well. All those guys are working their way around, and you can see that, okay, it's the tap on the shoulder, which means, okay, I have to get up, I stand up, and you direct me to the next one. It's not the fact that Alex sit there and said, and even if he did, who cares of, he didn't go and talk to the people of South Florida. He got enough questions in the electronic media room. He had to answer enough questions about Tampa and what Byron Brown meant to South Florida. And again, that's not a shot at them, but it's just the fact that it felt as if, man, you know what? Gene Chizik used to be the head coach at Auburn. We demand, if he's not going to be on Auburn radio every single day, we're going to throw a fit. Like, that's not how that works. Yet for some reason, because it was in Tampa, and because South Florida thinks that they're overly relevant now because Auburn stole their head coach, that they think that they have hierarchy over the rest of the SEC. That was all. Okay. Whew, wow. I did not expect that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That I don't think I've ever seen you fire it up. Oh, yeah. Look.
It's off season. You'll get a little bit of that later.
Yeah. I agree with you, though. I think that why? Why would you... Not even from like a goalish perspective, because there's a chance that he's like, he could have said like, hey, maybe we could consider it. But the amazing SIDs at Auburn, you know what they're going to say? And this is the correct thing they should be saying. This is, why would you ever do that? Because what it's going to be, these Tampa people are not going to be sitting there saying, oh, well, Coach Golish, tell us about what you can do this season. Tell us about, you know, some of the great players you've coached when you were the head coach of the South Florida Bulls. It's, why did you leave? Why do you think Auburn's better than South Florida? Why did you say you couldn't win a national championship at South Florida? Because.
Is that how they sound, too?
Potentially. Okay. I don't know, man. Because every person that we talked to in Tampa on the ground had nothing but nice things to say about Alex Golish. They were like, man, you stole our guy. You know, we're rooting for Byram. You know, he's going to be really good for you guys. The only people that I've seen upset about Alex Golish are the USF Twitter fans and the USF media people. And it's because, quite frankly, if he was still there, they'd be talking about, man, he stayed home. He's loyal to the Bulls. He's loyal to South Florida. You know, it's kind of like what Kevin Schnall was for years at Coastal Carolina. He's not going to go do a Conway radio station hit every week now. Why would he? Because every week it's going to be, man, you stink. Man, you do this. I'm sure that right after the Bulls score, they're going to be talking about the Auburn Tigers more than the Florida Gators. And if you want to give the free publicity to Alex Golish, go right ahead. I just thought it was ridiculous. I saw the tweets about it that's like he refused to. It's like, honestly, like... Alex Golish.
We followed him all afternoon. I promise you it was never, hey, coach, you have time? Yeah, I do have time, but I'm not talking. I'm not wasting my time on your radio station down in South Florida. Right-hand salute, Mr. President. Eric wanted to chime in. He said, absolutely. They need to pick a lane. And exactly, that's right there. Either be glad he's gone or support the coach.
Fair.
That's kind of what it is. Either be glad he's gone and support the coach that they now have, or speak well of Golish. And then there might be some sort of connection. But right now, what have we seen on social media that would give Alex Golish any sort of thought, any sort of, you know what, that could be fun?
Why would you step into an ambush?
Why would you do that? Why would you?
And it wasn't like they were not following him around. I guarantee you, if anyone is like in Tampa or can pull up Tampa TV like broadcasts of whatever was going on with Alex Golish, I guarantee you, like, we're sitting in the background because there's like 20 different TV cameras following every single person he's talking to. Like,
it was him and Sumrall were the two, at least in terms of the Tampa, which again, Sumrall obviously makes sense and Golish makes sense, but those were the two coaches that the news cameras followed around the most in terms of behind the scenes type coverage walking through Digital Drive. But
it's the idea that, I mean, I think it's also part of South Florida fans in general just thinking that, you know, nothing wrong with the Group of Five. We have talked endlessly about how we are Group of Five, Group of Six fans, but this obsession with being a Power Five conference from the Bulls that I see on social media so much, I think it's just the idea that they have a fish. They're like, they're a stepping stone job at this point. And I think that that's an insult to them. That's a frustrating thing to say for them. And then they look and their rival UCF is in the Big 12, even though, like, it's a very interesting scenario. One of the bigger storylines, social media hissy fits, probably outside of a legend getting kicked out of SEC media days as well, which was also hilarious. But again, I think that they have to realize that I don't think Alex Golish owes this much to Tampa, where he would need to decline engagement with Auburn people, engagement with national people. Like,
he owes nothing to South Florida. And I don't mean that in a way in terms of he owes them nothing on the field. Because
they made him a head coach.
Right, they made him a head coach, and I understand that. But the media, it goes, I mean, there's a fine line of being appreciative and then being upset when things you don't get what you are asking for. I understand that side of things, but what positivity have you heard from South Florida fans, at least on social media, that are like, you know what, I think he's a great guy. I think he's I think he's going to be amazing, and we're sad that he's gone. And now you're picking the route of, what a terrible guy. He didn't even spend time with us. Yeah, why the hell would he?
Why?
If I left for another job, which I'm sure this is not in the future, but it's like, man, if anybody were to take another job and almost be a little bit sad about it, whatever the case may be, and it's like, man, I missed that place, but then all you see is negative things said about you, why would you put yourself back into that world?
Right.
You wouldn't. And on top of that, Alex Golish didn't necessarily control where he went.
Point blank, yeah. And I think another thing that is such a good point of realizing,
but I do know where he went. With the ESPN 106.7, baby.
Boom, which you can listen to on our podcast center, ESPNAU.com, or wherever you get your audio podcast, on the Tuesday, day two SEC media days.
Where we had 8 questions scheduled, but we asked 3 of them because he talks for a long time.
Hey, hopefully we can bring him on soon again. That'd be amazing.
And he shouted out Lee Scott, baby.
Yep.
Go Warriors.
Go Warriors. There you go. But another thing, like, I have to realize is, like, you know, like, there are – it's the – at USF, the South Florida, the Tampa people doing it to themselves. Look at the relationships that John Summerall has with the Troy media. Literally,
yeah.
Like he was talking to Doug. Doug Amos in the Max Roundtable, the person that passed the baton to us, as he likes to say, before us on ESPN 106.7. He, like, him and Summerall saw each other the hallway. They just waved, hey man, stuff like that. He is always good with the Troy media. Look at, we had Gene Chizik, who was fired by Auburn, not left for a different job, fired by Auburn. And he was still so complimentary of Auburn. You know, you look at what Gus Malzahn says about Auburn and being involved with the program.
Anything else to live here.
Yeah. I think what John Summerall said about Tulane and Troy, and I'm sure the New Orleans media also is a fan of Coach Summerall.
Silverfield and Memphis.
Literally, same thing. It's literally, I mean, Lane Kiffin, expected, fair.
That's very different, yes.
Yes, this is so different. But looking at the... it's the fan base. If they were, hey man, we know where we are in college football, and we're happy for you for getting an SEC job. There's a chance he would have went on these Tampa stations or been happy about it. Instead, all he saw was, we upgraded Brian Hartline, who's never been a coordinator in his life, is now our head coach. Well, I'm saying, yeah, he's never been a head coach or a coordinator in his life. He's been a wide receivers coach. But he's our head coach. He's going to do so much better because he recruited Jeremiah Smith to Ohio State, a place that recruits itself.
Was Brian Hartline really not like the co-offensive coordinator of Ohio State?
Maybe he was involved in like a passing game coordinator role, but he was never the play caller. That's more what I mean. He's never called plays. He's never done anything like that. He was just kind of the wide receiver guy. Maybe I'm wrong, and he was promoted near the end of his tenure, but I remember, like, at least as far as 2022-23, he was only the...
He did serve offensive coordinator, wide receiver coach.
Okay.
But regardless... still a first-year head coach, and...
And what happens if he leaves them for
that's,
a big
I was
job?
About to say the exact same thing of, you're thinking this is the end destination for him?
Yeah. There's very rare, especially... There's I'm going to say, there's never going to be a big Group of Five coach that's going to stick with a program for, like, a Chris Peterson at Boise State, who left for Washington too. Like, he was there for so long and then left finally for a Power 5 job. You're not going to have a like Scott Frost, great example. He was at UCF for a good bit, turned him into a powerhouse, basically turned them into a Power 5 team, left for Nebraska the first chance he could. That just is the MO for a lot of Group of Six programs, and it stinks that that's the case, but I mean, we even see it at the Power 5 level. Look at Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. Look at Kyle Whittingham going to Michigan. I know he retired from Utah, and it was kind of like a, hey, is it time to hang it up kind of situation. But I think that if the South Florida fans were not just – it's them having their – not getting their cake but complaining about it.
Got another text. It says, you leave your girlfriend for someone better looking. She then starts talking trash about you, and then she expects you to go down to dinner and sit down for an interview. I mean, are the Tulane folks really acting like this?
Exactly.
Not that I see. Tulane,
yeah.
A, was a better program. But B, as LeVar Ball says, stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane. You know what? I hope USF I hope USF does whatever they need to do this year. I don't love the fan base. I have no ill will against the Bulls, but at the same, like, I don't get the ire. Like, there are the three biggest haters of the Auburn Tigers right now reside in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Athens, Georgia, and Tampa, Florida for some reason. So, hey, you know what? Enjoy your on-campus Publix, I guess. Cool.
That is kind of cool.
It is cool. Don't get me wrong, but
That was the backhanded compliment of like, oh wait, that actually is halfway.
No, that cool, it is halfway cool.
And Auburn's is there too, so
yeah. But it's just a again, know your role, stay in your lane, and you know what? Maybe we'll see you in a bowl game if you make one. I don't know who your quarterback's going to be. Good luck.
I hope we don't see them in a bowl game.
If we were to win the bowl game,
yeah, it's just lose, and just from expectations, I'd rather. Thus, it's like round one of the college football playoff. Could you imagine? Holy cow. That would be wild. Yeah, didn't Nick fully expect to have that rant and fire myself up on this Friday, but happy to see that everybody else agrees. Again, I think that there's a word that I'm trying to think of that doesn't – not that is an accurate word, but just the you feeling – obligated and you feeling as if you are better than everybody else to get what you want. That is what really
they turn themselves into. It's victimizing themselves. He left us. Oh, he won't talk to our media, but he wasn't that good to begin with, guys. Like, it's coping. It's a one massive cope fest.
That's all that it is. And so we will take a break. Again, I did not expect that here this afternoon, but it felt nice to get out over the airwaves. And again, glad to see that other people are in the same boat that we are, that, again, you have no right to do whatever you're doing. You have the right to say whatever you want, but don't give those guys any sort of engagement, because then it ends up being a benefit for them. But we're off and running here in hour number two. We'll take a break and we'll come back, and we won't talk anymore about South Florida, but we will talk about some of the other SEC teams who made some big noise, who made little noise whatsoever, and who was kind of just there, as we're off and running here in hour number two on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here. Appreciate all the engagement as well. Again, this is a very, very open show, a very engaging show.
It's a true free-for-all Friday.
A free-for-all Friday at its finest, at its best, and wouldn't want it any other way. We talked about how much fun this show could be and is turning out to be here this afternoon. And again, it's kind of gone a bunch of different directions that we weren't necessarily expecting, but that makes it fun for us, because it's not just the routine of talking about certain teams, not talking about certain teams, and just kind of going through whatever you need to go through in terms of any sort of publicity for SEC Media Days. Yet, that being said, we are talking a little bit about some of these other teams. And
can I throw a quick shout out here for Jackson Quiven?
Yes.
Being a shot up on Scotty Scheffler right now in the 3M Open.
Who just
shot a 68 today.
Koivin shot a 68 today.
Yeah, he's 10 under. He's tied for tied for third. Scheffler's on 9 currently.
Yeah, I saw he shot 7 under yesterday. Shot 3 under today. Yeah, sits at 10 under behind Michael Kim and Mr. Coles, who's 14 under and 11 under respectively. But yeah, how
just
wild
give
is that?
A quick shout out for that.
Of course. Oh, you have to. You have to. You have Blair. You have Billy Horschel on the leaderboard as well. And so the fact that he will be playing leaderboard golf here this weekend will be one of the later tee times you would imagine, unless somebody goes crazy. But even then, I mean, you're sitting there right now, tied for third to be in the second to last group, because I don't believe the 3M goes three man Saturdays and Sundays. But if that's the case, then you could possibly be in the final grouping, which would be absolutely awesome. How awesome is it to say, though, that we're not surprised? I don't think people look at this, and any golf fans sit there and look at a course like this that is relatively open. I don't want to say the word easy, because I know what I would do to the golf course, but the fact that it's like, it's not, holy cow, look at what this newly turned pro is doing. It's like, oh, yeah, there he is. There's Jackson Koivin doing what Jackson Koivin does. And so, yes, a major shout out to Mr. Jackson Koivin, who, again, we did get to talk a little bit to Coach Nick Kleinert on Tuesday afternoon as well, which was really, really cool. Or it was Monday afternoon, rather.
Yeah.
That was really, really cool. And again, he, again, is such a good ambassador, such a good leader for the Auburn Tigers. And again, you have Jackson Koivin in the second round, who sits at T3 right now, a shot above Scottie Scheffler, who is on the back nine right now, but struggling on the 10th, unless he chips this one in.
No way. So he will stay a shot up.
He did not, and so that's going to run out. That's an 8-footer for Scottie Scheffler. It is for par. If it was for birdie, he wouldn't even find the hole anywhere near it. But for par, he'll probably sink it because that's what he does for par. But, no, we are going to talk a little bit more about some of the other news around SEC Media Days. We were able to talk a lot yesterday about the Steve Sarkisian news and just regarding his comments of I don't like the world that we're in. The only reason that I do this is because it's what you have to do, a dog-eat-dog world of, yeah, well, Texas is in a pretty good spot, uniquely, when it's in terms of money. Yet, even though we can throw whatever we want at anybody, I don't feel good doing it. And it's like, okay, you see a little bit of the, not personality, but you see a little bit of the
human side of
things of, yeah, our sport's in a really bad spot right now. And that was, again, a big highlighted bullet point, if not a priority point, for just about every coach today throughout the week of there are issues. We need to acknowledge the issues, and not only acknowledge the issues, but do something about these issues. There were a lot of coaches that made a lot of big time comments about it. Music's going to kick us out here in just a moment, so we'll save a lot of those for 3:30 to 4. But man, again, so much thanks goes to again our sponsors. Yes, but do want to give a big time shout out for those that listen to the show. I mean, this is such a unique experience. It's Tripp's first time being able to go to SEC Media Days. It's my second time, but the first in this new era of On the Line. And so a lot of firsts for us that we were able to check off, and it made it really, really special, really, really cool. Had a lot of fun. Hopefully, it showed through the airwaves as well with the content that we were able to provide and again, had such a good time doing it. Hopefully that was reciprocated very well. Hopefully that was received very well by everybody here that listens every single day. And so such a big thank you to all of those people, and also a big time shout out yet again to the Orthopedic Clinic, to Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, to Apex Pest Solutions, and to the Depot in downtown Auburn for making all of our coverage possible. Very happy to be back in Auburn, Alabama, though, being able to, again, recap today and then work our way towards the starts of college football season, where we're just over 40 days until Auburn football hits the field in Atlanta.
It was a quick week, but it was a slow week at the same time. It feels like Monday was 2 weeks ago, but we had so much fun and it felt like everything was happening in Tampa.
Yeah, we'll continue this conversation, talk a little bit more about some of the teams that we heard from, some of the stuff we didn't get to prioritize throughout the week, but again, some of those key notes that we want to be able to discuss with you. And the phone lines are always open here this afternoon at 334-321-1390. Give us a call, tell us your thoughts, anything on your mind here this Friday afternoon.
halfway through hour number two. You're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Thirty more minutes here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us on this somewhat rainy, rain for a little bit, but just a gloomy, windy Friday afternoon. As I was looking out the window studio, an update: Scottie Scheffler, of course, did make that 7-foot par save. If it was for birdie, he would not have, but he made it for par, and so he stays 9-under. That's important because Jackson Koivin's 10-under, and why not be able to shout that out? We are discussing and do want to dive into some of the overall comments and some of the biggest quotes that I'm sure will carry us through the rest of the week, next week, as well as into August until we get up into football season. Just more and more of the quotes from all of the coaches at SEC Media Days. But before we do that, I just saw something over the commercial, and again, Free For All Friday to a T. With LeBron signing in Philly, I believe it was like 2 years, $8 million. So yeah, like the league minimum almost, which what a problem that is to be able to sound like and say. I wish my minimum was $4 million. That'd be Steve, if you're listening, let me know. But saw something that On3 posted, and it's their On3 NIL account. And it's talking about some of the college football contract earnings for college football players this year that are making more than LeBron James will this year in 2026 and 27.
How many are there?
And there's at least 8 on this list, and I'm sure there are more than that. But
okay,
the fact that there are 8 players on this list that I just see is wild to think about, and I understand the advertisements and everything on that side of things, but just from the contract perspective, it could be 9, but there's one guy on here that's no longer playing college football. I bet I can figure out who that is.
Gotcha.
Darian Mensah, Dante Moore, Jeremiah Smith, Trinidad Chambliss, Sam Levitt, Damon Williams at Washington, Jordan Seaton at LSU, and Josh Hoover. All of those guys are north of $4 million.
Wow. So, I'm surprised that there's a lineman on there, Jordan Seaton. I mean, what, that's the only non-quarterback on the list?
Jeremiah Smith, the wide receiver.
Yeah,
but,
which, fair. I mean, he is.
But yeah, 6 of the 8. And again, I would tend to believe there are a couple more that are right at that 4 mark. But the fact that there's a post about this in the year of our Lord, 2026, and you just see it and you go, huh, wow, that's crazy, and then keep scrolling. Imagine if you saw something like that 10 years ago. That would make everybody in college sports lose their mind. But there's no problems with the sports whatsoever. We love it.
Not
and
at all.
Nothing needs to be fixed. Nothing needs to be changed. And your phone just went off. If that was in practice, I would kick you out. I'm going to throw this microphone at you. thanks, John Summerall. It was Tripp's phone, by the way. I don't know if we need to know that. I don't know if we told him, but that was your phone.
That was just not my phone. No, it was. We were on the other side of the room, actually. But
we were, in fact.
Okay,
on the other side.
I have a question. I have a question for you, Christian, and it is about John Summerall.
Okay,
and a lot of people were very split on whether, I have it written down as, is he a cornball or is he a ball coach? Is he a Steve Spurrier kind of, I'm going to make waves, I'm going to make jokes, but at the end of the day, like, what we do matters on the field? Or is he just a cornball where he's going to try and make these statements to get headlines and get juice and get attention to the program, but then not follow through?
Yeah.
I think we've seen plenty of coaches like that. Brian Kelly is a big one. But what say you, Christian Griffin, host of On the Line, like, about just his,
wow,
a lot of his.
Give me the government while you're at it. What's the social number?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not going to do the middle name to you, though. I'll save that one. But do you think that it is like a corny thing, that a lot of the statements that he was making, or do you think it's just like, that's just how he is off the microphone?
Yeah, no, I mean, I do think that's who he is. I think when you go and you look at some of the quotes, he's obviously in control of the room when he walks into it. You know what I mean? Like, he's somebody that has that commanding presence. So we talked about that when he has, when he's at the podium, has a microphone. And so I would imagine that it's pretty much the same thing in terms of firing up his team. And you'd see that with the success. Some of those quotes, everybody's talking about that and calling him out of like, this is ridiculous. You just entered the SEC. I can't believe you'd say something like this. The only people that are really saying anything negative are about the people that weren't there. Like,
yeah, like
we all thought that it was
hilarious,
absolutely hilarious. And he just moved on. And so I think that's a little bit who he is. And I've seen the Auburn perspective of, as well, of like, if something comes out and it's like, I'm so glad that we went away from him. It's like, I didn't think about it on that standpoint.
See, the thing is, first of all, if that was Auburn, you know that everyone would be saying the same things, if not worse, that because it's typical good old Auburn saying that kind of stuff. I think Auburn gets that kind of maybe.
You're saying if it was the Auburn logo that was up on the podium,
and not
something
if
like
he
was
the head coach of Auburn and did the exact same conversation, sure. It would get a little bit more just like, are we serious? And that's just because of the Auburn fan base, sometimes not in a bad way, but
it's that, and then the national media right now of it's a lot easier to laugh and point the finger at Auburn than it has been in the past.
Correct. That's kind of my point.
Yeah,
what I was saying, but I thought that part was funny. The thing that I didn't like was I've seen the quote and everyone's like, dude, this is one of the quotes of the week. Is the only three football conferences I knew were the NFC, the AFC, and the SEC. He said that multiple times. That was definitely a line that he came up with in his head. He's like, oh, this sounds good. And I'm going to say it. He said an electronic, and then we walked right – like, first question, and then we walked right into the big media availability, and that was the first line of an opening statement. Just putting that out there, again, I do think he's a genuine dude. I mean, yeah, you obviously rehearse some stuff that you're going to say if you're a head coach. I would too, but that line stuck to me. I thought that the podium – thing was fine. I think he made a lot of great jokes when, like, one of the Huntsville reporters asked about his time at Grissom. He gave a really good response to that as well. I was like, oh, dude, I'll talk about this all day if you want to. I did like that. So, I mean, I like it. I like him, but I can understand why people would find him a little corny and a little pokey in a way.
I know that he caught a little bit of flack, and for reasons that, looking at it now, don't matter, and how many things about this are not going to matter. Pretty much all of it once the actual football season gets here, because we've talked so much about that of you can be as funny as you want, as serious as you want, as whatever word you want to use to describe someone's personality. But again, Spector said it early on in the show of, man, I'm so tired of the talk. I just want to go out and play. And although I wish I had the ability, I can't, to make it early September already, but that's going to be –
yeah.
The judgment day of college football, especially again for Auburn, and a neutral site game, but a home game in Atlanta against a Power Four opponent. And again, at the end of the year, coaches are aware that they are judged 100% off of their wins and losses and how many wins they can put onto a program's record every single year. But I know Summerall took a little bit of flack for the like corny signing day videos of him like answering the call and stuff like that, and it was just like, it's a little bit straight, but again,
I mean, we had a head coach posting pictures of him rolling dice and saying Yahtzee when we would land a recruit. What are we doing? Like, we are in no position to judge what recruiting videos another one would do. But yeah, I mean,
I choose not to look in the past. So
fair, good coach speak, by the way.
Thank you so much. We're gonna do our best. We're putting our best foot forward every single
day.
We're focused on the now.
Focused on the now. Yeah. I mean, look, again, I agree with you about the I wish I could fast forward time, play football games. Probably by then Auburn High School and Lee Scott are 3-0, 4-0, and times are good, and Auburn can prove that they're worth on the field. But I think that the media day conversations and what we heard from these coaches, I don't think it's going to add wins and losses to the schedule. I think it's more of just like a building national interest in, okay, these are what we need to tune in on. These are the storylines for the year. And I think that by mid-September, you're not going to remember him joking about throwing a podium at somebody.
Yeah, unless something like that comes back.
Unless he actually does it in a media availability.
Right, something like that.
Post-game press conference or something.
But
I don't think he will.
That's about the only time something like that will work its way out. Monday recap. Missouri and Oklahoma in the morning. Kentucky and Tennessee in the afternoon. Missouri, we learned a little bit about Ahmad Hardy and how his recovery is working his way back to being able to play football, but how the offensive line is still a relatively solid offensive line to where you feel like you can run the ball. Jamal Roberts is still a really, really good running back as well, one of the best number two options in the SEC. Eli Drinkwitz talked a little bit about how he hopes that Austin Simmons, again, the quarterback, you know that name from being at Ole Miss, the lefty, but hoping that that can provide a little bit more of a vertical downhill passing game, which will open up the run game a little bit more. Those were some of the big comments that he had, even though he did not bring Austin Simmons to Tampa for SEC Media Days. Missouri was one of the seven schools that did not bring a quarterback. Oklahoma, on the other hand, the exact opposite. John Mateer led the way for the Sooners. No neck brace for Brent Venables, yes. Which I know he made a lot of jokes about being the oldest head coach now in that, the SEC.
Which is still so crazy.
Doesn't feel or sound real, but again, you're seeing that new wave of, I mean, three American coaches now in the SEC in year one. And so the idea now that you're sticking it out is interesting to see, but he is very, very confident in his team this year. We'll dive into a lot of this on Monday, but I think with a healthy John Mateer, and again with that defense that many people voted as to be one of the best, if not the best in the SEC, I still don't feel like enough people are talking about Oklahoma. And I know that doesn't fire up the Auburn fan base, that doesn't necessarily build a loving relationship with OU, especially after last year, which, again, I understand that. But their win total is 7.5 right now. But you look at it, and it's like a healthy John Mateer that has his full right hand ready to actually grip and throw a football. And
then you have, running game.
Yeah, and then you have Brent Venables, who's your head coach, but is also the defensive mastermind and so much talent on that side of the football. It's like, we've heard so many people talk all about that, yet the win total looks as if it would be the opposite.
I think, what were they projected in the SEC this season? I think of the preseason poll, which we're going to get to more on Monday, but they were 7th, I believe, which I thought was absurd. I had them at 3.
I need to see.
First of all, John Mateer might be he's kind of become like a football guy. You know what I mean? Like, he was answering questions. He was like, we didn't really want to do this. We just went out there and played football, you know? Like, it's stuff like that.
Yes, Oklahoma was projected in terms of the SEC ballots to finish 7th in the SEC.
Yeah, like, that is a crazy statement.
Granted, 4th through 7th are 53 votes away from each other. So take that for what you will, but...
Fair. I mean, I think that the defense will be good, revamped running game. Parker Livingstone coming over from Texas will be an adding to a wide receiver room that's kind of building back. I mean, with their schedule, it's tough, but I mean, I think that there should be showing some more love for Oklahoma.
Yeah, you then work your way to the afternoon. Will Stein, his main quotes that you heard was, why can Kentucky be successful? And he basically was like, sat there for a second, and you saw in his head, he was like, do I want to say this? Do I want to go as far to make a statement like this? And he said, you know, I don't mean for this to come out in any given way, but it's because of me. And you've seen people take and run with that a lot of different ways, because there's either that mindset or I think the Alex Golish mindset, where he talked about the offensive line or just the offense as a whole, of you're only as good as your weakest link. If everybody is not pulling their same amount of weight, you even heard Summerall talk a lot about it, of nobody comes to whichever stadium to watch the head coach, right? You go there to watch the team play, and if there is somebody not pulling in the right direction or is stalling or taking a play off or whatever, they're going to be looked at, they're going to be singled out, rather than Will Stein said, essentially, it's because of me. And I think that there's two different ways you can think about that. The confidence, yes, but
I thought it was more cocky.
It makes it to where it's like, okay, what about making this about your team, your staff, everybody, rather than, it's because of me.
I know that's probably not how he intended it, but like...
I don't know. I think he hesitated it for long enough to where I think he knew exactly where he was going.
I mean, I think that he is could be a solid coach, but he's never been a head coach. I think that's such a big thing people forget about. Like, if this was a guy that if John Summerall said this, I'd be a little bit more okay with it, because you look at
the track record. Yeah,
he's won games as a head coach. Guess how many games Will Stein has coached in not only the SEC but college football? 0. So I don't know if he can just say that. I think he's like, our staff or our players, but I just thought it was a little bit too cocky, personally.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Again, there's multiple different ways that can be looked at. Josh Heupel in the afternoon as well had some good quotes. The funniest one for him standing out is, "I hope that all of our grocery stores are lined up with ketchup and mustard. I hope all of our sports stores have all of the golf balls ready for Lane Kiffin's return." Talked a lot about the quarterback battle as well between Faison Brandon and
George McIntyre.
George McIntyre.
He also had a good quote about Vanderbilt.
He did.
He was like, it's unacceptable to lose to Vanderbilt. And I think that's the one program you could get away saying that is if you're at Tennessee, given the big rivalry between the two. But it kind of fired me up because I'm like, you know what? At least someone else is saying it. Just saying.
We'll continue to talk a little bit more about Tuesday as next week rolls along with Auburn, Georgia, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. Other than the fact of Vanderbilt was there. And that was kind of the thought we had. Vanderbilt was there, we think. We can confirm that Clark Lee did speak at the podium.
And they had some people there.
Yeah, they had some people there, but
it's kind of refreshing, though, because as someone that does not like Diego Pavia, it's nice that
there's no news with him, right?
Yeah, seriously. Congratulations, CFL. But it's so crazy to me that like the amount of media buzz that followed, him and Stowers, the tight end, and now it's just like, who?
Yeah,
it's kind of funny to me personally, but there was not a ton of buzz about Vanderbilt. I think they were picked 11th or 12th. So
yeah, I think if there was one team in the SEC where it's like, who did the least meaningful SEC Media Days, I think Vanderbilt would be probably the number one team on that list. We do want to save a little bit of some quotes for Monday's show about Kirby Smart, because he continues, to hate the reporters, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But he did really make some good quotes about the state of college football right now that we will discuss a little bit more on Monday with Shane Beamer. Talking more about the goal is not just to make a bowl game anymore. Sound familiar? We were just trying to make a bowl. But talked all about the offensive line and how that is a big question. Did some statistics.
You became the stats guy.
I did some typing on the computer because I was a big, big fan in Lenora Sellers last year. And talked a lot about how I think he could have been the dark horse for one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC. And then I did a little bit more research on their offensive line last year going into that season and was like, okay, I might take it back a little bit. Believe it or not, South Carolina's offensive line was worse than Auburn's. Auburn gave up 42 sacks last year. South Carolina gave up 43 with a more mobile quarterback in the Norris Sellers, which partially that is, okay, maybe he tucked it and tried to run too early, whatever the case may be. Well, Jackson Arnold held the ball for forever. But the fact that South Carolina gave up 43 sacks and Beamer was not overly confident about his comments with the offensive line, saying there's a lot of things that we need to still get figured out. It's like, oh, you want to talk about not building up a lot of hype for your offensive line. That might be the way to do it. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show right after this here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate everybody for being a part of today's program, a part of today's discussion, whether that's via the phone lines, whether that's the text box. It's been a very, very fun show. Exactly what we were expecting to have here this afternoon. Recapping SEC Media Days, having a little bit more of a relaxed show. And again, wouldn't want it any other way. It was a whole lot of fun here this week, man. So many thanks go out to so many people, especially a big time thank you to those at the Orthopedic Clinic, Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, Apex Pest Solutions, and the Depot in downtown Auburn for making all of our 2026 SEC Media Days possible. Whenever you are in Auburn, make sure check out these companies. They'll take care of you the same way that they took care of us. And partner, we're excited to have another full week here back in the studio on ESPN 106.7. I know tomorrow, gosh, I keep saying tomorrow.
Monday.
Yesterday felt so much like a Friday that today almost feels like a Monday show.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, gosh. I'm going to go home and go to bed. Friday, holy cow, Monday's show, oh my gosh, Monday's show will be a lot of talking about the SEC ballots of projected winners, projected overall finishing spots, first team, second team, third team, all preseason. SEC will also re-hit the win totals for all SEC teams, and so it should be a lot of fun on Monday,
Monday
when we are back.
Yes. A big, again, big thank you to our sponsors. Big thank you to the people here at Auburn Network and Radio Alabama for just giving us the opportunity. Steve Witten, the GM, Lee Perryman, Morgan Williams, and Mitch Petrie for helping us out with social media. Brandon Gurgley for running the controls. All of you guys are awesome. Thank you.
That sounded like it was on 3x speed. That was
I thought it was 10 seconds less.
He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Man, it's been an absolutely amazing week. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. Sports are so much better with an opinion, whether you love them, whether you hate them. We're back on Monday to talk all about them, and we hope you'll be there to join us.